Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Sex Talk with Derek and Tina, even though today we're minus Derek. So I'm Tina. I'm the hosting today. We have a couple of, at least one great guest. We may have two join us later. And, you know, as always, every week we like to talk about what are some fun sex in the news topics. Then we like to get into some in-depth topics around sex and sexuality and what are we doing out here and how can we just really love ourselves more and love our sexuality and all of that part of us. So we do have a couple of fun things that have been posted on the webpage, Facebook page last week or so. There's a couple of good articles about last week the topic came up. I think we were talking about sex clubs and I was mentioning the Power Exchange out in San Francisco, and Derek found a great article about them. That's posted up on the Facebook page. There's a really funny thing. Now, this is pretty crazy. Joining me is Roy Clark, and he's here sitting here. But I'll introduce him in just a minute. There's this thing, and I think it might be a joke. I clicked on it. Maybe it's just a joke. It's not real. But a microchip that you insert into a penis and then into the vulva, and to catch each other cheating in a relationship. I mean, like, how crazy is that? You've got to be really insecure to want to microchip you and your partner to make sure you're not cheating on each other. That's, like, the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
You should just go with a shark collar.
Yeah, really, right. So I don't know if that's a joke or somebody's really trying to make up some product like that. You know, probably somebody is trying to make up some crazy product like that. So check out our fun stuff on the Facebook page. We always like to have fun there. Funny stuff, serious stuff, it's all there. You know, just to improve our sex life, give us a curiosity about what's happening in the world with sexuality, and just overall enlightenment. So check that out later at your leisure. So tonight we have a great guest, Roy Clark. And Roy is the founder of AVA, the Aramic. Oh, I'm saying that incorrectly, Anna.
Right.
Tell us what it is.
It's the Aramaic Vernacular Association.
Okay, thank you. It's late in the day for Tina and sure. So it's a nonprofit, non-sectarian spiritual educational group to help people understand the Bible from a Near Eastern view. It's also working on an expanded narrative version of the four Gospels that you're going to be making out into a book.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. So you might be thinking, what does that have to do with sex? Right? So there are a couple things. There are lots of verses about sex in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? So tell us, Roy, what is it that what stands out to you as you're doing all this work and you're working on these, doing a different narrative version,
right,
and speaking the what you believe to be false interpretations and true interpretations. What's going on with some of these verses and Bible information about sex?
Well, our problem with the Bible mostly is English. We don't understand that. A lot of people don't understand it was not written in English.
Right.
And during the time of Christ, English did not exist. So we go back to 1611, which is where our King James comes from, but there's over 12,000 mistranslations in the King James text alone, which is in the Old English. And then we have 11 texts before that, and this goes all the way back to the Greek, and there are mistranslations in the Greek text as well. So a lot of people don't know that Jesus spoke Aramaic.
Mm.
He wasn't speaking Aramaic and thinking in Greek, Latin, or English. But a lot of our approach to the Bible is from our English literal interpretation.
And that literal interpretation is kind of, even if it was coming from the same language, would already be a problem. But then coming from translation after translation after translation, you probably have some pretty weird stuff, right?
Well, the Jews even rejected the Greek version due to all the errors that are in it. They're very they're very zealous about their text, and if they had one mistake in it, they would consider the whole text void. So when this Greek version was created for the Alexandrian Jews, they found a lot of mistakes in it. Unfortunately, that's the version that went westward into Europe and then became their official text and then came westward. And all of our versions, we have, there's 730 plus different versions of the Bible, and they're all 20% different, and those all go back to the Greek text. So
wow.
We have a problem here.
Wow, you know, that's interesting because you're right. If you go into a Bible store or a Christian mm-hmm. store, there are tons. There aren't that many in one store usually, but
right.
there's probably 50 or 100 even in one store.
Yeah, and if this is the Word of God, why are they all different?
Right. You know, okay, I have to say this about that Word of God thing.
Yeah.
Now, I used to be a lector in the Catholic Church,
uh-huh.
so I don't really consider myself religious anymore. Some people uh-huh. call me a Catholic Buddhist, but, you know, I don't know. But so when one of the reasons I stopped being a lector, even though I have a great voice and all that, I can go up there and speak it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end in the Catholic Church, you say, after you read this piece,
right.
you say, the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it's the Word of God.
Well, you're not alone.
Right. So it's like, I can't really stand up here and say this when hundreds of people are sitting there listening to me say it, and I don't believe it's the Word of God. And I just
right.
felt that wasn't really authentic to do when
yeah.
I believe it's the interpretation of some things handed down of what somebody said that God or Jesus said or did.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's written by men.
Yeah.
And it was written by Semites, for Semites first, and then for the Gentiles. But when it started getting put into other languages, a lot of problems started to come about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not alone about this, you know, not thinking it's the Word of God. In the Near East, they do not consider this text the Word of God. The Word of God is something that's alive. It's what grows your fingernails, the hair on your head. It's not a book. And in the Near East, the only text they were considering sacred, as far as the Near Eastern Christians, was our four Gospels. So the words coming out of Jesus' mouth were considered coming from God through the man Jesus. And, you know, this is the enlightened mind speaking
right.
through a human. And they were writing it down as best they could. And
right. And then it's still the best they could.
Right.
As each person received it and experienced it. Just like we can all still sit here in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk about your description of the room, it's going to be different than my description of the room.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And a lot of things have been left intact. The idioms are still in place, but when we read them in English, it's very bland.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you look at in Luke, when Mary is talking to the archangel Gabriel, this is a song, but we don't hear that being sung. But in the Near East, they sing these verses.
Oh, okay.
But to us, it's scripture.
Oh.
And this is where we start to get into problems when everything started being turned into scripture in the 15th and 13th centuries. So then they later put numbers and verses, and this creates problems because a scribal note all of a sudden becomes the Word of God.
Ah.
A song becomes scriptural,
taken
literal, you know, and this happened to Paul's letters. These letters, these epistles that he wrote, he didn't know they were going to be turned into scripture or considered the Word. And it's not. So this is where we start to get into some problems over here.
Right. And then even some of them, you know, some of the stuff that tells you specifically of what's good and what's bad
mm-hmm.
maybe never had that intention
exactly.
of telling us what's good or bad, but mm-hmm. just something altogether different.
Well, like the purity laws in Leviticus, Jesus threw them out.
Oh.
Those were written by men. He didn't consider that written by God. It was never considered that. And in fact, there were so many laws, Jewish laws, that if you broke one of them, you were considered guilty of breaking all of them. And this is what it means to be a born sinner. These people were born in that culture, therefore they were born sinners. Gentiles were not, however. People of other cultures were not.
Yeah.
How could they be held responsible for texts that they knew nothing of or a God they didn't even know anything about? So, but Jesus, he did away with a lot of these purity laws that are still being used today to judge gay
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus threw it out. Jesus never said anything against gay people. Now, right. Paul, on the other hand, he mentioned some things too, because he was going back to sticking with some of these laws.
Mm.
But again, their intention that we find in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are still different than what the modern ministers are doing today to condemn and judge and, you know, to come against the homosexual community.
Mm. So what are some of those things that you've seen particular when we're talking about the sex and sexuality and homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
those scripture pieces that are being misused and interpreted?
Well, they're very plain in the English. And so when we read it very dry, but we don't understand the intent or the culture that it's coming from. Now, for example, when we look into the Old Testament and we have the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and these strangers that come to visit, and they always go back to this story where they the town come against them and wanted them to come out to have sex with them. And it was nothing about homosexuality. It was male rape. These were heterosexual men that were there, first of all, that were there to commit this crime. Uh-huh. And within the cultural context, he offers his daughter and his wife. He's like, here, take them, you know, don't harm these guests of mine. But here's the key factor. This was all in a vision.
Mm.
This was a dream.
It wasn't even a real
action. It didn't even happen. So, but the way the Semites write, things are blurred, you know, from things that are happening to then a vision, and then it goes back to reality again. And if you're a fellow Semite and you know this style of writing, you don't need to be told this.
Mm-hmm.
But to us foreigners, you know, anybody that isn't Semitic, you just read it as it is. You know, and if it's got verses and chapters and you're told, hey, don't question this because it's the word of God, then you're not even going to even know that you're ignorant to this.
Right. So as you're doing this work, mm-hmm. and you're going to write a book about it,
mm-hmm.
how do you get people to understand this? Because you probably talk about it with people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them to understand it, and do they agree with you, or do they kind of like, what is their reaction?
Well, they're some of it's new to them.
Right.
Because we've had so many traditions created from Europe and here in the West and in the United States that theologies and dogmas that were created to fill in these gaps.
Mm.
And this problem goes back to when the Jews were considered Christ killers, therefore they weren't considered or consulted on how to understand these verses.
Mm.
So that alone created a problem. But for the average person that I talked to, like even talking with you, you felt that there was something not quite right about it being the word of God when you got all these different versions.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, I tell people, listen to your heart.
Mm.
You know, Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find. He didn't say, do as I say, or, you know,
yeah.
And just don't ask any questions and, you know, blind faith.
Just do all these rules that people have been telling you for 1,000 years.
Yeah. No,
right.
You know, in fact, he was against a lot of traditions. He was going against traditions. He was going against, I mean, just to talk to a Samaritan woman was, oh, my God, such a taboo in that culture,
mm-hmm.
because they had different types of beliefs about God, you know, mm-hmm. the Samaritans and the Judeans, and Jesus was Galilean. That
mm-hmm.
was the big clash there, it was the Judeans and the Galileans. But, again, the Samaritans, you know, so when he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, oh, my God, this is just shocking to the Middle Eastern ear over there, you know.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting is that, too, there's so much more, just even within those ones around homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
there's so many other kinds of stuff that's in there that's odd and weird, especially
right.
when we look at in today's society.
Right.
So it's kind of funny because people are always posting all this stuff on social media like, oh, well, should I burn this and should I do this? And
right,
what do I do after I burn my neighbor for,
yeah.
you know, whatever?
Can I play football?
Right.
That's Leviticus. And they're right to say that. There's things, if you take it
if you
literal,
take it literally, then everything in this current world, none of it should be happening.
See, we have to remember that the Bible is the Middle Eastern people's perspective about God. We're looking
right.
through their lens, their ideas about God. In fact, they didn't blame the devil in the Old Testament. They didn't have a devil to blame.
Mm-hmm.
They blamed God for everything. So
oh,
if you did something
right,
wrong,
right.
God must have been mad at you. You know,
right.
but these are all human ideas.
And now today, a lot of churches have gone so far in the direction, oh, the devil's after me, the enemy, the devil, the enemy.
Yeah.
I'm always freaking out when I hear people talk like this because I'm just looking, I'm like, ew. Like, I don't even know. I just don't say anything because I don't know how to respond. I'm just like,
right.
okay. I mean, because that's what they believe.
Right.
So people, why do you think we're so susceptible to these religious leaders trying to tell us that these literal, you know, interpretations are rules?
Because we've had over 1,500 years of literalism. But ironically, it was literalism that killed Jesus. When he
yeah.
talked about tearing down the temple, he was metaphorically speaking in regards
mm-hmm.
to his body and his spiritual resurrection. But they took that literally and thought he was going to build up arms and start a fight.
Right.
He was Galilean. And rightfully so, the Judeans in Jerusalem, they'd seen this done many times for over 400
right.
years.
Yeah.
400 years, false messiahs had come against them. And started trouble and always got slaughtered. But Jesus came using the power of the spoken word and talking about love and forgiveness and loving your enemy. This was really bizarre thinking, but it was unifying these 12 tribes that had been separated and dispersed around the Lake of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unifying all these tribes that had different ideas, but yet they were all coming together through, you know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of basics about love and compassion.
This was
new, revelatory to them.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, what's interesting, too, is a lot of people, like, I mean, I don't have a lot of strong beliefs about anything, but because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I wasn't there
sure.
thousands of years ago. I
sure.
don't know. I do believe, that most of the religions who have a spiritual prophet, probably they're all accurate. They're
mm-hmm.
all in their tape that are true.
Mm-hmm.
These people really existed. These people
yeah.
really did miracles. These people really led people.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody kind of said, well, this was my experience, and they're so separate.
Right.
So then, you know, and then you have Jesus who goes off to study with priests and all that. Well, you know, they weren't Jewish priests. There's no way, because he couldn't come back teaching the way he did.
Oh, actually, yeah. He learned with the Pharisees.
Exactly.
His father, Joseph, was a Pharisee.
But he's probably learning from all these other things.
There's a myth that he went to India, but that could be a whole different radio show. But I'll just touch on it just very briefly. There's a confusion there. But there's the man Yehuda Tuma that we call the twin.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that went to India.
Mm-hmm.
So what we find is a lot with who we call Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Who looked like Jesus.
Oh, did he?
But he was a Meshihe, an enlightened one.
Mm-hmm.
They all were called that, but it was actually a nickname to be called a Christian. That was actually meant as an insult to the
right,
apostles.
Right.
Yeah, because nobody
liked this guy. Well,
right,
you know,
so they were
not
making
everybody.
Fun of them, like,
yeah.
oh, you're all you're the enlightened
the...
one, you follow the Nazarene.
Yeah.
They're actually making fun of them. So Christian is actually a...
And I think it's like all of history, probably. People want to, they don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just want to believe what they want to believe, to
mm-hmm.
a certain extent.
Well, and we get a lot of that from when Martin Luther had put the Bible in the printing press and the locals could actually read it for themselves, which was good at that time. Unfortunately,
right.
we're still feeling the effects of that, where everybody picks up a Bible and
they
just put their own spin on it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where it comes from.
It's crazy. But when we get back to this idea of sexuality,
yeah.
so, you know, what are these things that, how is this, do you see good or bad, or what do you see around this and how people are interpreting, maybe, especially for homosexuals, and we see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, it's being used now to divide people even further.
Right.
There's more separation, I think, now than ever in everything, sexuality, race, class,
right.
economic statuses, all of this stuff. I think there's so much more separation than we've ever seen in our lifetime anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the last however many years.
Well, we get a lot of this problem from Paul's letters and when he wrote in Romans chapter 8. and it talks about not, you know, a man lying with a man. And what he was talking about was pedophilia, because some of these elders, the Alexandrian Jews, were using young boys against their will for
sex. And then, of course, we see this in the common
recent.
Yeah,
it's
recent.
Still happening.
It's happened.
But, but Paul was addressing pedophilia.
Not
he was not good. Going against what we call gay people. They didn't call them homosexuals. They didn't even have a word for that in Aramaic.
Right. Because it just existed.
It just, yeah, it was normal. I mean, where there is love, there is no sin.
Yeah.
You know, and we're talking about God being love. How can sin be where there's love? You know, and sin comes from all those laws that Jesus was throwing out. He was changing things. I mean, he was dismissing a lot of the stuff that burdened the people. They were angry for him.
So
why didn't
that's what he was doing. Was it because he was killed too soon before he really made the changes?
Absolutely.
That,
you know,
people just held on to some of it with a little bit of love, but they held on to everything else.
Well, he didn't die for our sins. He died because
of them. He died because
of
people killed him.
Because of them.
Right.
Because of the Jewish elders.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. Oh, exactly. That's why he died.
Yeah.
You can see the exact same kind of thing in today's world, you know, where you have, who do you want to be let out of prison? Who do you want to kill? Who do you want to crucify?
Right.
And you see the same things now. Like,
oh, yeah, the right wing. They pretend that they're the voice of Christianity.
Yeah, and it's a little scary because they pretty much are crucifying people in a different way.
Yeah.
Not literally.
Yeah.
But they're crucifying people still.
Right.
The same.
Right. Yeah, verbally.
Like,
you know, when Jesus said to love thy neighbor as thyself, in the Aramaic, neighbor is anyone in your mind.
Yeah.
It's not just who's living next door to you.
Right. It's everybody.
You know, anyone in your thoughts. And I challenge people all the time. Can you love those that you hate or that you don't agree with or don't like? Or
do we really want
everyone to be the same in a gingerbread world?
Yeah.
You know?
And it's really interesting to see today the people, because even people who say they're so open and they love everybody are being really hateful against some of the hateful people.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, we hate, I don't want to use names of who they are,
right,
but we love everybody except for all the people who are hating on everybody else. We hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You should be dead. You should, like, and then all the memes online, and this is for both sides.
Yes.
Both sides right now are saying, like, oh, what is it, like, there's something where, oh, if there happens to be a plane crash, why can't she be on it or why can't he be on it?
Right.
And I just think this is horrible.
Right.
Horrible.
Right.
Like, I don't care who you vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't care who I vote for.
Yeah.
I mean, you can care who you want to become president,
yes. Yeah.
But you should never want death to the other people. That's ridiculous.
Well, like,
that's horrifying.
Take Donald Trump. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But he has to wake up with himself every day.
Yeah, and do
someone
I
like
want
that,
to hate him?
Someone like that. Someone like that does need our prayers.
Yeah.
Now someone would say, "Well, your prayers are doing nothing." Well, you know what? If it makes me a better person,
right?
You know, then it's doing something. I don't want to be like him.
And you cannot like him, but do you have to hate the people who voted for him?
Right.
Why? Because everybody's got their own experience. They've got their own story.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their own preachers
and
or
everyone,
family
everyone
or anybody
makes
else
their own
telling
karma, you know?
and they might have a real reason for thinking what he says is a good thing, but somebody else can say, like, whoa, you know, that's kind of crazy. Or the same thing with, you know, there's, of course, then you have all the people who love Bernie Sanders but can't stand Hillary, and so they're hateful on her, and it turns into hate fest instead of it just being a love fest. Like, instead of being a love fest for who you want, they're being so hateful to the opposition that they're really just giving more energy to the opposition.
And the funny thing
because
is,
they're keeping it keeping it.
They don't know that they could still vote for who they want.
There's
still a section on there where you could still write in the name you want. You don't have to hate the other person.
You don't have to hate them.
I hate a lot of politics. I mean, you know, politics, many bloodsuckers, you know.
Oh, gosh, politics is a nightmare, really. I mean, even for anybody to even get involved in it, you got to have some kind of, give them props, because they go in there knowing that people are going to start trashing them.
Right.
I mean, and you got to be a strong person to be able to handle that, too.
I mean, I tell them, you know, I get a lot of right-wing people that are against me, and I tell them, look, don't tell me how much you love babies when you're pro-war and pro-gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true.
You know, how pro-healthy
you are. And then they're anti-welfare and food stamps and WIC, and yet they're going to force people. It's like, it's really
and
crazy.
And they're going to tell me how Christian they are, but their Jesus is not my Jesus. I'm like, what is this, Baskin-Robin of Jesus?
And then I love the new thing. Like, I won't post political stuff too much. It has to be rare and it has to be coming from love for me to post anything.
Absolutely.
But I love these new things that people are sharing a lot of. It's I forgot what it was. I'll think of it again in a minute. But it's interesting because people get so enraged.
They're zealous.
You know? And I don't know if it's because, honestly, I kind of believe that the world is on the implode side right now. You know how throughout all history there's been implodes and then growth. Implodes and growth.
Right. Different ages coming
and different ages coming. I see this age going.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? I mean, like, there's so much negativity. There's just the energy of negativity is so strong. And then we have global warming and climate change, which people try and say doesn't happen, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
We see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all these changes happening. There's probably going to be a war soon.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
It totally is.
It's like Jesus said, there'll always be wars and rumors of wars.
There
and
always
the
war will
be with you.
Yeah.
You know, and we get a lot of our apocalyptic ideas from the Revelations, but the Revelations was meant to actually give hope.
Right.
It was not about the end of the world, end of an age.
It was actually supposed
to be more what we call psychology. The first few chapters is about what goes on inside the person, and then the rest of the book is sociology. And once one person changes for the better, then it can affect everybody.
Yeah.
But we, you know, and we get this from the Greeks and the Latins and Europe, that they turned it all around, spun it all around.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing with sex. They demonized it, which dehumanized sex and demonized the woman and blamed the woman, even though Adam is standing right there.
Really? He still is there.
It's in every translation.
Right.
And that's just an allegory. It's a story.
It's not science. Exactly.
But in the allegory, Adam's standing right there, and he tries to not only blame Eve, but he blames God for making her.
I know. So there's always been blame. So this idea of
blaming
other people.
Men are blaming women for all their problems. You know?
And there's just been this idea of blame since the beginning of the history of the written stuff that we teach people.
Well,
it's
where we go back to, like, let's take the word.
Yeah.
Satan is not a being. It comes from the Aramaic word seta, which means to miss the mark or to slip away. So it's any person who is not, who is divided against themselves or creating divisions. So that's what it is. It's like when Jesus called Peter Satan, it's because Peter, you know, who was called Kepha, he didn't understand what Jesus' mission was until after Jesus died on the cross. That's why he said, Zilak Satana, which means get behind me, Satan. In other words, get behind me, O divided one. You don't understand what I'm trying to do.
Right.
But we turn it into a being.
The devil.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Like, I don't believe in the devil.
The Greek Hellenistic Jews from Greek mythology. And created a demon character to blame.
I know. And people want to blame all that stuff and around sexuality, not just homosexual, but are you married? Is it casual sex? Are you having a baby out of wedlock? Are you, you know, all these horrible things.
Yeah.
Or people just, like, enjoying the act of sex. Even just married people don't always enjoy it because they've been taught that it's bad.
Yeah.
Everything is bad. You can't do these outside things outside of doing sex in this one position. And,
it's ridiculous.
It's awful.
We created these traditions.
We did.
You know, out of verses that weren't understood.
Yeah.
And it just, we turned it into rules and regulations, you know. It's like, why do we care what people do in their bedroom?
If they love each other. And if they're not harming each other.
Yeah.
If they're not.
It's consensual.
Consensual. They're not harming someone.
Rape is not. Sex. Rape
right.
is violence.
Exactly.
And pedophilia is
exactly.
not sex. That's predator. That's
exactly.
a mental illness.
Exactly. It is not sex. So, you know, I am glad you said that because it's so true. Those things aren't sex.
Yeah.
Those are violence. Those are abuse.
And
those
often they blur the line. Like some gay person's going to go in a bathroom and somebody gets
I know,
it's
right?
ridiculous. Like, that's where they got cooties, you know.
Right, exactly. It's so true.
It's gross immaturity.
Right.
And they're projecting their own hate of their own bodies
onto other people. And even, you know, I think we first started with the brief mention of the Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
That was a horrible thing that,
yes.
you know, at first they said, oh, he's a terrorist. But it really wasn't about that.
No.
It was about him and his own demonizing of himself,
yep.
partly because of his religious
and
teaching
politics
and
there's
politics
something going on
involved
there with him and his dad.
Yes, stuff with his dad,
him.
Stuff with his religion, stuff
mm-hmm.
in his home. And he went there. He
yep.
knew these people.
Yep.
It's almost more like a office workplace shooting than it is a terrorist activity.
Yeah. I've noticed,
because,
yeah.
you know, you turn on these people that you feel you can't connect with anymore.
And not
you know,
to mention, the
like
news,
bad.
The so-called news that we hear is a narrative.
Oh, yeah.
We're not hearing the whole truth.
Yeah, we never hear the whole truth.
We're not. You know, they're repeating what the Associated Press
right.
tells them to say.
Exactly. And this is why you can listen to Sex Talk with Derek and Tina,
right.
where we just get raw and real about whatever topic we want to talk about because, you know, it's just real.
And I like to tell people, you know, if you got questions about the Bible, don't be afraid to ask it. Look deeper into
sure.
it. Be candid with it. Challenge those authorities.
Yeah.
You know, because the Aramaic does not agree with what they're teaching here in the West.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Absolutely. And if you're some other religion and you're listening, question your religious authority,
right.
whatever it is.
Look at the context in which it was
yeah.
written. If you're a Buddhist,
totally.
Look at the Sanskrit. Look at
yeah.
what that means from their perspective.
Right.
If you're a real Muslim, look at the ancient Arabic that
yeah.
comes from Aramaic. Because there's a lot of Aramaic idioms in the Quran
mm.
that are being taken literally. They're doing the same thing to
mm.
that book
yeah.
that the Europeans did to the Bible. So it's really sad, you know.
It is sad. And as always, Sex Talk with Derek and Tina goes by so quickly. So we do have a link to your Facebook page. We have information on what you're doing,
great.
Your work. So
and if you
check
want
it
to
out.
Go, if you want to look even deeper for yourself, go to the Noora Foundation. NOOHRA.com, and you can learn from the writings of Dr. George Lanza, who was from the Near East. He's the first person from the Near East to translate the Peshitta text into English. And then his protege, Dr. Rocco Errico, continued that work and has done lectures and stuff for over 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage everybody to look deeper into this. You know, God is love. Doesn't matter. We all come
what?
From the same
Whichever,
source.
There is only, there is only
what your
probably
religion
one
is.
God, and everybody's
well, God
talking
is spirit
about the
and
same
God is
God
love.
Spirit,
you know?
Yeah. It is love.
It's humans that create religions. You
know? I
know,
right? So. We're just all about love here at Sex Temple, Derek and Tina.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining me today, Roy.
Thank you.
And everybody, check out the links that you can find right in the description as you're listening in. Join us every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, for more Real Talk, Sex Talk with Derek and Tina. Thank you. Good night.